Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We've got a lot of things to go through because I still have to get through the fundamentals of republicanism. This is a principle and a concept that was completely lost. And so I want to we're going to go through the details of this and the epiphany that Roger Sherman had. That way we can kind of get to a mutual understanding of how our government and how we need to move forward in the operation of our government, because this is how our government is supposed to operate. And this is what we need to do to get our government to operate with the checks and balances that was designed within this framework, within this constitutional hybrid constitutional republic. Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Anyway, as you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and RepublicReview.org. Before we really get into republicanism, we just kind of wrapped up, and I know people are just digesting, wow, that's a lot of people that have died based on the research, based on these numbers and so forth. There's no better explanation for that type of an output, for that type of a release of control. Because if you understand, China uses their cell phones and technology. As a matter of fact, our American technology giants have been working so well with China in helping them learn to control the masses. What do you think they've been doing here? They've been playing with propaganda. As you understand, Russia has been using what mechanism, what platform to supposedly manipulate our election system? Social media. And so with everybody diving in, sucking up all the content and information from social media, that just makes everybody more susceptible to the propaganda and false information. When people say that our elections are being manipulated by external forces, these external forces are just using open source resources so that they can feed us propaganda. It's not like they have been successful in going into the ballot box and changing your ballot. They may be influencing how you put, you know, how you vote on that ballot, but really, I'm not sure that, at least I don't believe any listener is susceptible to that type of manipulation. I believe that everybody understands exactly how they vote, how they're going to vote, and how they need to vote. And boy, there's no doubt in my mind, we all wish that we had an opportunity to vote for better candidates. And that's one of the conversations that I had over the weekend, as well as some other epiphanies that I had. The real question that kept on coming into my mind over the weekend was, why is it that it is either black or white, this or that? Why is it that there is no other alternatives? Well, that's because we have been programmed to go into need mode, to go into nanny state whenever anything comes along. I mean, this goes to a long discussion and argument that I had, not necessarily an argument, but it goes in line with the conversation I had with Dr. Vile. Dr. Vile was writing a book, and he's probably got it done by now, regarding the constitutionality of disaster relief in the federal government. The federal government has no role whatsoever to be involved in national relief, or I should say disaster relief at a national level or even at a state level, local level, at any level. It's not an enumerated power, but they've been doing it, and they've been brokering our future. They have been constantly adding more and more debt as they continually take away the consequences. So this is a conversation that really needs to be had, because if you look at where you live, there is a high likelihood that you may live in an area that has these potential threats. And, oh, by the way, you may not be able to get home insurance for some of those types of threats. A good example is if you live along the coast, flood insurance. You may not be able to get flood or storm surge insurance or anything like that for water damage because you live on the coast. Well, folks, there's a cost and there's a risk to living there on the coast. But we've become, as a society, we have obtained the paradigm that somebody needs to bail us out. Instead of saying, you know what, if I'm going to live here, I have to have a home that is impervious to whatever those threats are. If not, if I don't have the resources and money to build that type of home, then I have to accept the risk of losing everything or losing a lot, because Mother Nature is going to show up at my door. It's the same thing with, it doesn't matter where you live. You take, life is a risk. I mean, in the plains, it's tornadoes. In some places, it's, you know, volcanic activity. In other places, it's earthquakes or such torrential rain that it erodes and clarifies the landscape, you know, every so often. The point is that we have to become the adults instead of allowing government to say, you know what, we're going to take away the consequences of the cost of you living there. How's that sound? Well, that's great. But it's not great because, one, it's not constitutional. They don't have any legal standing to do that. And secondly, where are they getting the money from? You know, they're stealing from others to take away the consequences of others. Now, let's look at it this way. Who lives on the very coastlines? I mean, there is the lucky sod that had, you know, that property because nobody has lived there. It was unoccupied. It was available. And, you know, there's a few families that have, you know, these plots of land. But for the most part, almost every stretch of beach line in California, along the East Coast, along the West Coast, almost every stretch of that beach line is either state-owned or owned by somebody with a lot of money, because those are premium homes. Come on. Who doesn't want to have, you know, the sunset, you know, off of their deck on the West Coast, or watch the sunrise off their deck on the East Coast? Now, sometimes I know the sun comes up pretty early to watch it rise, or it can go down pretty late to watch it set, depending on your latitude, right? But the point is that those pieces of land cost a lot of money. And it's interesting how we've got now a government that protects those people and their investment, as well as everybody. I mean, it's everybody, but they have the most to lose. We need to start taking accountability and responsibility for the choices of where we want to live. You want to live on the top of a mountain, and, oh, by the way, that happens to be, let's call it a dormant volcano. Okay, great. It's a dormant volcano, but if all of a sudden it comes to life and your house gets blown off the top, who should have to bear the cost of that? The insurance company. See, here's the real problem. If you look at home ownership today and you look at home ownership a long, long time ago, home ownership was actually ownership a long time ago. People would be, you know, either inherit or so forth. There weren't a lot of people that had mortgages. There weren't a lot. I mean, you own that land. You went and paid your stake and bought that land from the state, the territory, or the federal government, because it was a territory, what have you, back in the old days, as we were expanding. Somebody would come along and they would pay cash. They may actually do a financing or so forth, but I mean, for pretty much it was a transaction agreed upon by two people. They paid off their debts and we move forward. But you own that. Today, you don't own that. And as a matter of fact, the only way you can live well outside your lifestyle, is insurance. And insurance is just a risk. It's just a game that, you know, they kind of do their averages, and that's how they make money. I mean, everybody's out to make money. You can't begrudge a free market system like insurance companies for, you know, making a dollar here or a dollar there. I mean, that's the nature of business. It's the nature of enterprise. It's just the nature of life. Whether you're a farmer, whether you're a banker, it doesn't matter. Whether you're in minerals extraction, oil, it doesn't matter. Whatever that living is that makes you happy, and hopefully whatever it is you do makes you happy, the fact of the matter is that if you're trying to live in a house that you can't pay for, which realistically we've inflated our society so much, we've inflated our economy so much, nobody can afford to just lay money down to buy a house. What was the percentage of people? I don't know the answer to this, but I will bet you it's a better percentage of cost. What do they call that? When you're doing a mortgage, there is a debt to income ratio, right? So there's this debt to income ratio. If you look at today, that debt to income ratio is probably a lot higher. That threshold is much further out, where you are taking a lot of risk when you buy a home. That's why you have to have insurance and so forth, because you're mortgaging everything instead of paying big down payments and so forth. We're out of time. We will be back with the obligatories, and I'll finish this thought as we move forward. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so the one thing that I wanted to try to get out of this diatribe is the fact that we've created a society that has done everything to try to remove the consequences of our decisions and our behavior, so that, oh shoot, you... I'm trying to remember that there was a movie where, and I forget the gal's name, but bottom line is she felt like she was mocked by some young girls in a small little sports car that took her parking space because they could quickly maneuver and negotiate. They could easily see that she was going to park in that parking spot. And so with their arrogance, they parked and, stole her parking spot and got away, got out of the car and started walking in when this actress in the movie part, she literally started ramming this person's car, causing damage to their car. And she says, you may be young and have a nice little, fancy car or what. I forget what she said, but bottom line, her message was this, that she's better insured so that she can do those types of things and not have it cost her. Because we kind of have removed the behavior from the overall, if you want to call it justice, or from the settlement process. And so we can actually do things where we have this padding, this protection. We can make decisions where, well, so what? I am insured. If something gets screwed up, then, the damages will be. And as you look at it, the damage is kind of buffered, or when it comes to insurance, how insurances are claimed and paid is based on you, but there still is the averages where, 9 times out of 10, there are people that actually get a lot better insurance, I should say. There are those who get good outcomes because they constantly have these accidents or these problems, and they get the benefit. Those people who never have an accident, look at those of you who have never had an accident. Why is it you're paying that much for insurance? Well, you actually have a lower, and the insurance company tells you, well, we're rewarding you for your good behavior by giving you a little bit less. But in actuality, if you've never claimed, you should get a holiday. I mean, where we're going as a nation, we're getting into, I think, a paradigm. I think that we're about to turn a corner into a subscription-based life, because companies make money on that monthly subscription. Now, as you know, Microsoft and Apple used to sell their product, their OS or what have you, in a single sell, in a single, transaction. Here you go, here you have the OS. Now that happens to be a subscription. Or what they're trying to do is they're trying to move you into, just like what a lot of the other OS in Linux and the Unix and so forth, for you to get support and everything else, because they realize that the support is where they get you. They don't want to just sell you the OS and have you walk away. They want to put you on a constant payment track. It's a subscription. And so Windows 10, and it's the same thing with Office. It's the same thing with all this cloud stuff. You want to have a license, and you turn on your license with Adobe. You're in the cloud. You're working. And the problem is that you don't own that anymore. You're just subscribing, so you can have it or not. Now, another case in point in this, and I see the paradigm, and it's our children, are the youth, and those who are growing up, who have lived and accept the subscription concept. Let me ask you this. When you look at, and this is the same thing with houses and everything else, when you look at leveraging and everything else, you just pay these fees, you just pay these subscriptions, you pay these costs for your house, for this, for this, for this, for this, and nobody has this concept of saving and paying and owning outright. We have lost the concept of ownership. This is why I harp on the concept of a electronic currency. If they move us to an electronic currency, you have lost ownership of your own money. You'll never possess money ever again. It'll just be numbers in an account that they can take just like that. It'll be the same thing with, the home and everything else. I honestly see, and we see the front end of this. Cars started leasing when, about the 80s time frame, late 80s. Where getting a lease on a car became pretty standard. Why is it that they haven't started offering subscriptions for cars, and you just get a level of a car and or the generation of a car? So let's say you've got a expensive model. Let's just work with three lines, an expensive mid-level and a lower end model. And you want the front end of that. So you want the first 3 years of operating that vehicle so that after the end of 3 years, you turn your car in and you get a new one, as long as you take care of it or have it insured and have it completely restored to full functioning. Then you don't pay any damages or what have you. You just get your new car, and then you're just paying a subscription for having a car, right? You'll never own a car ever again. You'll never have that title. That is, and it seems like an inevitable direction that corporations want us to go. Because why? Because you never become a property owner. You become a serf. You become dependent on working the rest of your life and not owning anything and not, you know, amassing wealth. You just become a worker. And at this level of workmanship, whether you be a doctor in the medical industry or whether you be an engineer, I mean, you have to be an elitist. You have to be thrusted into the top levels of society to actually be able to possess land. Now, interesting thing is, because the concept of communism and the concept of collectivism came from Plato and his Republic, or statism. And in his paradigm, the people at the top don't own anything, that the people at the bottom were those who owned land. But it seems like this role of communism has reversed, that the owners of everything are at the top and the rest of us don't own anything. We are given possessions of things, but it's on a subscription type of basis or temporary basis. I want you to think about that, because when we start looking at how we are addressing a problem, are we addressing the problem because we have been told to address it the way we have? And I'm getting back to this coronavirus, because this started the whole thing. We have been led down this path that we depend on government to solve the problem instead of allowing us the ability and the ownership to solve these problems for ourselves. I still subscribe to the concept that there are other alternatives. I truly believe, and as a matter of fact, I had this conversation with a state legislator in Montana, a state legislator that lives in Montana, legislates in Montana. We talked about the concept of why is it that the legislators have not been able to offer their own solution as the sovereigns of the people, as representatives of the people. Instead, where did this edict come from? Stay in place. Well, it came from, and you hear people pointing to, well, you know, I got to trust the doctors. I got to trust the scientists on this. Well, are the scientists giving you any other alternative, or are you just trusting their narrative? Because it seems like the only narrative that's been leaking out is the narrative of surrender your liberties. And why is it we're not trusting our state legislators? And why is it that the executives have all been hoodwinked and going down this path and believe? Is this a coincidence? Look at how many states just buckled and surrendered your liberty. How can this be even palatable? I've seen a few comments, and as a matter of fact, some that really resonate, and I forget the individuals who've posted these, but the one that resonates the best is, you know, I don't want to join any of these groups of, you know, reopen the state, reopen the county, reopen the city, these reopen Facebook pages and what have you, because they're just places to complain and gripe about what's not being done instead of people actually taking initiative or getting out and doing their own commerce. I actually went out this weekend and I went out and made a big purchase. I left the state to do it, but that's what you do, right? You go to where you can make that purchase done. It infuriates me that we are, the way we're going about this is we're fighting the governor. How many governors have declared a state of emergency, and how many state constitutions actually require that the state legislatures be called into an emergency session if a declaration of emergency has occurred for over a certain period of time? How come the state of Washington, because I know it's in the state of Washington, how come the state of Washington has not called and have had the state legislatures convened an emergency session to take over, because the governor is not the king? But it sure seems like we are the land of kings and monarchs, because it sure seems like for years and years we've always treated the president as the monarch of the land, and that our governors are the little mini monarchs of our own little state and so forth. When we actually, we're a representative government. We're not a dictatorship or a monarchical government, nor a democracy where mob rules. The framers had this right. And so this is why this importance of representation bears. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Well, you know what they say. They say that you get what you deserve, or you get what, you know, you be careful what you ask for because you might get it. The reason I've kind of gone on this meandering, and I'm there is a point to this, and it's going to lead us into our Republican form of government, because over the course of time, we have been sold this bill of goods that, you know, we have this government that can do all of these things. And we've been told that this government can do anything and everything they think necessary and proper. They have usurped at the federal level. They have usurped so many roles, responsibilities, and powers. They've become the single source of solving every problem in our everyday life. That's not how they're supposed to be functioning. That's not how it's supposed to operate. But who knows any different other than you? The important thing is that we really need to get this message out. So this is where I'm going to kind of get into the obligatories. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that provides the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of what we need to do, how we got here, and why we need to change our paradigms. I have said over and over and over again that we need to become succinct. We need to understand exactly what the message needs to be. Forget about the thing that bothers you the most. If the thing that bothers you the most is abortion, is federal control of lands, whatever it is that seems to disrupt your life, forget about it. That is not the real problem. The real problem is that the federal government is operating outside its scope and boundaries, causing your problem and everybody else's problem. If we, the people, told our sovereigns, our representatives, not to worry about the one little thing that bothers us the most, or the thing that we think is affecting us, or the thing that we think is perverting the world, such as religion, freedom of religion, or what have you, the real problem that actually stems or creates your particular problem is compliance to the Constitution. The federal government has no roles, responsibilities, and powers to mess with healthcare, to mess with agriculture. They can't shut agriculture down. Even your states can't shut agriculture down. At least they're not supposed to, but they've bamboozled everybody into believing this. Now, there's a lot of things I kind of wanted to address, and what I really I'm trying to help convey is that there's a lot of things that I've noticed why we're in this situation. So I kind of wanted to talk in a really macro view about how we as a society have allowed ourselves to create a government that kind of protects us from everything. It takes away the consequences of unwanted pregnancies. It takes away the consequences of a tornado ripping through. Not necessarily. You cannot tell me that a person that lived in a ravaged home and survived a tornado, that, you know, the consequences are taken care of. But they are buffered because people do not bear the full brunt of that. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of people that will come and tell me that when it comes to tornadoes, justice or compassion is not equal to hurricanes. And there is a huge truth to that, because there's many communities that feel that the nation does not owe them a new house and a new town and everything else. They need to do this themselves. These people recognize that it's one thing to receive something compassionately, but to receive something from compulsion, from something like government, it's just wrong and immoral. Because what government does is, it's not like government actually creates things. They take. They take from all of us to give to those few who, you know, have their handouts. And we've been programmed to put our hand out as soon as necessary. Pretty soon, government's going to have to nationalize our farms. Now, you've probably seen this, you know, conversation and or information in social media and in the news that we're not going to have any food, that farmers are dumping their milk because the schools have closed. Well, hold on. You know, schools close every year for 3 months. What do they do with their milk then? Well, they kind of prepare and they cut back on their milk production or what have you. Or this is when they, you know, have contracts for cheese to companies to buy up their milk and start creating cheese. Okay, so summer came a little early. Now, I get it that there are, and I believe that the government is behind directing people to go ahead and dump your stuff. I mean, you know, get rid of it, bury it. But we're also being told that there are crops that are being buried over, potatoes, the harvest of potatoes that are being covered because there's, you know, there's, they can't sell it, or the market is unavailable to them. The farmers have gone down this path of creating all this food. Well, hold on here. Near as I can tell, we're just thawing out from wintertime. How many potatoes in America are ready to harvest? Now, I do understand that California does have a interesting ability to, you know, kind of produce, but I've driven through the agricultural belt in California, and they're not really producing a lot of things other than in greenhouses. during, you know, the wintertime. I mean, those fields, I mean, the grapes take a rest, the orchards take a rest. I mean, they produce in the fall, and that's typically when, you know, you get your fruit. And so, well, actually, the fruit is going to be forthcoming, but the fruit's still a few months away, right? It's June and July timeframe. Maybe you get some berries early, but for the most part, they really don't start showing up until June. So why is it that we're being told that they're destroying all of our food and they're creating this panic over the food? It's about control, my friends. It's about control. And you need to take control of your government by getting a hold of your state legislature. Be very succinct and tell them that they need to demand full compliance, that the governor does not have any authority whatsoever to suspend their constitutional rights. It doesn't matter if the federal government says so. The Constitution did not give the federal government the ability to say so. You need to read my article regarding martial law, because right now the federal government is inept and unable to even declare martial law constitutionally. And anything they do in declaring martial law, any damage and so forth, they should be held fully liable because they are violating the Constitution. Now, when I usually give my presentations, I always start off with my three premises. My first premise is reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. The problem's that middle part. We're not all equally informed. I'm definitely not equally informed on lots of certain things. A lot of doctors are equally informed on the basics of medicine or psychology. Same thing with engineers on software and language and those types of things. So that's why there's this importance of having an equally informed population. But when it comes to governance, when it comes to civics, when it comes to the Constitution, we are an illiterate society. So reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And the problem, again, is that middle part. So how do we fix that middle part? Well, we have to start getting engaged. We have to start learning. So this goes to what I'm begging here. This goes to the concept of you actually helping get this message out, getting other people to start listening, pulling in the content, pulling in the shows. It's not like I'm parting the heavens right now, but when I am reading what Madison says, I don't want to necessarily say that is heaven party, but those are profound words. Don't take my word for it. That's why I read exactly what they said, so you can take their word for it. This is what the Constitution means, because this is what they were saying it meant. Not me telling you what I think they said. That's how things get distorted, and that's how things get perverted. Everybody, I don't know anybody that has never done the little game of telling, providing a little information in somebody's ear, and as that goes around a circle, by the time it comes to the last person, the information was completely distorted, had nothing to do with the original message. That is why we do not understand our Constitution, because we haven't gone to that original source. The importance of that original source, those founding documents. And I deal with really great thinkers, you know, just very knowledgeable people, but they just have never read the ratification debate. So I'm just absolutely amazed. But I'm not amazed, because the ratification debates have been marginalized. The first person to marginalize the ratification debates was John Marshall. John Marshall becoming the Chief Justice and actually being a participant in the Virginia ratification debates, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he said, and he knew that if he was going to make rulings that would contradict what he said, then he didn't want you to read his comments and his testimony during the ratification debates, because then it would just stand out like a sore thumb. He's contradicting himself. That's why they were buried. so they could make it up as they go along. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. I don't want to bleed into it again. We'll be right back.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So, folks, I kind of meandered a bit. I know that I've talked about, you know, the tornadoes. And as a matter of fact, my heart goes out for everybody that gets affected, whether it be by an earthquake, tornado, or what have you. Because I know that those are real traumatic incidents. I mean, you feel like you have been violated. And in this particular case, it's not like you've been violated by your neighbor who came and stole your car or, you know, shot in your window. You know, hopefully he didn't kill anybody. But my point is that you feel traumatized, that, and there's nothing you can do when God's fury is unleashed upon you, or the fury of nature. How's that? And the point is that we as a society have really looked, because I know in the South they just recently got hit by tornadoes. We're supposedly getting a bad hurricane season. We've just had some earthquakes where Idaho was shaken. I know that when we are devastated, you know, we look at ourselves and go, "How, you know, I'm done. I can't rebuild." Those should be reckonings that you have even before that occurs. If you really live a life where you have, I'm stopping myself because in with my parents passing away and with the estate and everything else, and seeing my grandparents, I had grandparents that had a lot of money, in the millions, and on my mother's side. So her mother and her father, when they finally passed, I saw how money divided the family and how there were so many people that were just dependent and pleading their case and crying. And actually the truth is, and it's hindsight, you know, when you're looking back over the period of time, you look and you realize that the family that really received that money, at least in our case, they were, let's just say they had a level of consequences that came, the gal in our family, my cousin, that ended up basically manipulating the grandparents to giving her all the money and everything else, she ended up dying of brain cancer within a year after she had inherited all that money. Didn't even get a chance to blow through it. And how her, the rest of her siblings and family, as they just came in like vultures. And I look at what happened and how it destroyed that. I mean, it destroyed the family, you know, and separated the different trees or branches of the family. But we look at how people become, they just lose their dignity. They lose their identity as a family member, whether that's a family member of the human race or the family member of your actual lineage. We have to understand that there are consequences when we decide to live right there on the beach, when we decide to live on a hillside. You know, like in Malibu, and next thing you know, the rainwaters and, you know, erode away, and your house is slipping into the beach because of erosion. You live right there at the point in time you happen to own that house, at the point in time where everything caught up with you. And, nobody wants to feel the brunt of that. But the fact of the matter is, those of us who actually accept that, I think we're better off. Those of us that put our hand out and you know, have to plead our case, and sometimes I've seen plenty of times where people have lied and or aggrandized their situation just so they can get that little extra lucre. Folks, we have a problem with our society. We've lost our morals. We've lost our moral compass. And we need to actually start accepting consequences. There are consequences to where you live. And if you look at our society, the rural areas are becoming more and more desolate. And more people are moving in the wrong direction towards the cities. I think we need to, you know, start going backwards. Not necessarily that we need to find, you know, life at the in the field or in the agricultural sector, but I don't believe that contributing by moving into LA and New York and these megalopolis, you know, huge, you know, population centers is the solution. And as a matter of fact, if you look, those are the bastions of perversion and destructive mentality. I mean, look at what's going on in these big cities in America today. You know, they're allowing people to live on the streets, actually, you know, crapping in the streets. You're doing drugs and they're getting away with petty crime. I mean, property means nothing anymore. It was one of the reasons why we left California, was because we recognized that the laws were protecting the criminals and not protecting property owners and our lives. When government starts focusing on protecting those who are more dependent on them than those who actually pay for them to be there, then you start having a real indictment that our government has become perverted. So it's really critical that we start understanding what our government is. This is why we started with this concept of the scale of liberty. Understanding the paradigm at the two ends of the scale. There is liberty and enslavement. You are fully enslaved and dependent, and you have no choice, no liberty. The people that believe that mankind and society must be enslaved, those people don't care whatever it takes to obtain that objective. That's why communism is a very harsh revolutionary process. Now, they knew that they couldn't invoke communism throughout the world just like that. So what they did was they slowly prepared us. They built up this case of fear. Because, folks, look over your shoulder right now and tell me what kind of government we have. We have a statist government now. We don't have a land of liberty. Liberty is gone until they tell us that we can have a little bit of liberty back. And I'm telling you, they're not going to unleash all our liberty until you and I make a very succinct message, and that message, and this is why these elections in the dark red states are more important than any other blue state out there. This is why we need to get rhinos out of the red states. I don't care about the blue states. The blue states are as good as lost. But the red states, one red state, it only takes one red state to turn this country around. Because once one red state stands up, other red states will start joining. And then the purple states will start turning red because people will actually gravitate back towards liberty. Everybody has just had a great sampling of communism. Everybody has had a great gulp of statism and losing your ability. I mean, any Christian listening to this show right now that didn't get a chance to participate in recognizing Easter Sunday and having the, you know, the gratitude and the spiritual upliftment that comes from Easter, you have been denied a fundamental right. This is why we're building our way into Madison's essay on property, because your property is your liberty. And your liberty is your property, because as Madison says, we have rights in our property and we have property in our rights. It's the same thing. If you have a right to expression, if you have a right to speech, if you have a right to assemble, you have a right to do these things. You have a right to your own religion and religious expression. Then those things are your property. If you have them as a right, then you have property rights in them. And we have had government stealing your liberties, stealing your property. And the only way to hold them accountable is in this upcoming election. So what we're going to do is I'm actually going to launch a, not a website, but a page that will link you to the different pages. I've already got, and I have an interview with Chad Christensen, and we will, you know, put, we'll probably play that interview, or we'll put it up so that you can listen to it. But what I want to do is I want to get these state legislatures to come to the trough and actually speak. I'm going to be speaking to one in South Dakota. I've already spoken to a few in South Dakota. I've spoken to a couple in Wyoming. We're going to get these state the legislatures in Montana and so forth. We want to get these red state legislatures to actually start leading and calling out, because you've heard me say this, we need to make sure everybody goes on the record as to what we've just witnessed and how atrocious this is and how we have to stop their ability and take away their ability to restrict us or take our liberty away without cause and without the proper constitutional process. Folks, whether you believe it or not, we need to restore the militia, because the militia is the people enforcing its constitution. And there is no more brilliant concept and no more brilliant strategy than that concept of people enforcing its own constitution instead of having thugs and hired hands and coming down and delivering those types of things. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. We'll be into representation next episode. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.